This episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, it's changing the way we talk sports. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast. Today is Thursday, June 3rd, 2021, coming to you on a day after the Phillies got rained out. They're going to have back-to-back off days here as they play two games out of Great American Ballpark against the Cincinnati Reds. Neither of them close. On Monday, of course, they lost by a score of 11-1. Then on Tuesday, they win 17-3. And in the rubber match with a chance to actually win a road series and to see what the Phillies could do following their 17-run performance, well, they're going to have to wait more than 48 hours to follow that up at home against the Washington Nationals on Friday. That game against Cincinnati has been postponed and rescheduled to June 28th, I believe it is. That is a Monday. Towards the end of the month. Yes, Monday, June 28th, a mutual off day for the two teams. The Phillies will have to fly out to Cincinnati for that one game, wrap up their games out at Citizens, or at Great American Ballpark, I should say, this season. And any way you slice it, it's still going to be seven off days in the month of June for the Phillies. So that is where the team currently stands. They did lose a half game in the standings, even though they didn't play on Wednesday, as the Mets beat the Diamondbacks 7-6. So their lead or their deficit in the division, they're in second place, but now down to 4.5 games. So certainly not great, not where this Phillies team had hoped to be towards the beginning of June, but they will return home, a place where they certainly enjoy playing more. So in honor of the off day, decided to, you know, grab another guest on the podcast. No game to break down here on today's show, no game to react to. Another day where I'll remain relatively positive, though certainly the discussion around the team in general, a lot of it is not positive. I got Rob Ellis from 94WIP, also a professor at Temple. He went to Temple, of course, where I went to school and graduated last year. So always love talking with Rob. I've had the great opportunity of working with him a handful of times as a producer at 94WIP, and he was nice enough to come on the podcast today. Always like talking baseball with Rob, and we kind of broke down the first 2 months of the season, where this thing is headed, kind of analyzing Joe Girardi's tenure with the Phillies thus far, and a whole lot more, what has gone wrong, the few things that have gone right, and kind of just the microcosm of the 2021 Phillies. So without any further ado, here is my conversation with Rob Ellis regarding the 2021 Phillies. Joining us in today's episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast, you know him from his work at 94WIP, been a sports radio host here in Philadelphia for many, many years, also an alumni and professor now at my alma mater of Temple University. Rob Ellis, how are you doing today?
Man, what's up, man? I'm doing better than the Phillies, but I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
I hope you're doing better than the Phillies.
It's a low bar, we've said, that's for sure.
It's a very low bar. I'll start out with a very general sense. I remember we were actually, I've had an opportunity to produce you a couple of times, and we were talking, I think it was beginning of spring training. It was right around truck week. You know, that's when optimism with the baseball team every single year is at an all-time high. And whether it's late in the season or sometimes earlier in the season, for many years now in a row here in Philly, it seems like we're consistently disappointed. We're 2 months in and a day, and it's been a lot of disappointment. Did you think things would go this bad, this fast? I mean, where were you at 2 months ago versus now?
I didn't think they'd go this bad for starters, not even close. I thought they would compete for a wild card. I did not envision the offense being the disaster that it is. I mean, my logic going in was you're going to have a lineup that includes Realmuto, that includes Harper, that includes Gregorius, Bohm now in his second year, you know, and if somebody else could step up, McCutchen another year removed from that knee injury and just be serviceable, I thought they'd be okay. There was obvious holes. I mean, we didn't know what center field was going to look like, and it's, you know, it stabilized somewhat, but it's been a disaster. Let's face it. And then you add in the injuries, which granted everybody in the division, feels like everybody in baseball is dealing with. So I don't really use it as an excuse, but if you're looking at the big picture of this thing, it's got to be brought up. But, you know, to lack the clutch gene, the way that this team does, to strike out even by Major League Baseball 2021 standards at the rate that they do, I didn't see this. And frankly, you know, the first 3-4 of the rotation, they've been real good, you know, but it's really the only thing you can point to that you say they're even, you know, above ground here.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Is there anything when you turn on this team night in, night out, like last year, as bad as the bullpen was and as bad as some of the pitching was and the ways they would find ways to lose games, at least they would put runs on the board. You could say, all right, you're tuning in every night to see the team hit. Is there anything you feel this team does especially well besides maybe the starting rotation. And even guys like Aaron Nola, by his standards, are having a disappointing year.
Yeah, I think the only thing you can point to is the top of the rotation. You're right. I would say Nola's been middling. Wheeler's been really, really good. Eflin, with a couple of exceptions, has been really solid for a three. And I've always been a big Eflin fan, so I'm not shocked to see this. I think he's finally figured it out generally. And really, if you compare what they've gotten out of the four spot for the most part with Vince compared to what other teams get out of their four spot, it hasn't been bad. So if you're pointing to anything, it's that. But really, if you look at it from a lineup perspective, it's really been an abject failure almost across the board. I mean, almost entirely. Like, guys like JT and Harper on face, their numbers aren't that bad, but they've missed time. There's been big moments, especially for Bryce, where he hasn't come through. So I think you can, although I have to give Reese credit for what he's done of late, but for the most part, I would say, especially the lineup and the manager have really let you down.
So that's where my next question was going, because I've been very critical almost on a daily basis of this manager, Joe Girardi. We've seen approximately 120 games out of him, not a full season by, you know, regular time standards, but we saw a pandemic 60 game season a year ago, and we're 2 months in this year. This is a guy who won the World Series in New York, has come to the Phillies, basically has added no improvement while Gabe Kapler's out there with the Giants having a really good season. What have you made so far in terms of evaluating Joe Girardi so far with the Phillies?
Really disappointed, Dan. I got to tell you, like, last year was so weird on so many levels that you can excuse anything away. I mean, with the pandemic, with the bullpen that he was handed, yeah, I to me, that's a total mulligan. I'll almost throw that out. But what I've seen this year, it's in a lot of ways, it's been amateur hour. It's the kind of thing you would expect from a guy with no experience managing, number one. And we can recount all of them. I mean, the trips to the mound and the lineup card issue and just other tactical moves. Look, there's a lot of baseball, and this is what's fun about baseball. A lot of things you can always debate. Oh, should he have kept the pitcher in for another at bat or another batter? Those things are legit, and you could go either way, right? The things Girardi has done this year have been awful. I think he has zero feel for this team. I think to an extent, he's got buyer's remorse. I think he probably wishes he had gone somewhere else, Cubs or somewhere else, whatever, Mets. And I think that's starting to play in. And I truly believe now the pressure's getting to him. He's starting to feel it. He doesn't have the lineups and the bullpen and the pitching like he had in New York. And this whole nonsense with, I'm not going to give away any trade secrets, it is a manifestation of him not being able to handle this.
And it almost seems like a guy, A, you're right, who's never managed before. And B, if he has managed before, you're like, okay, the Philly media is tough. This guy managed in New York. Like, how is that even excusable?
No, it's not. And this isn't an example of us just swallowing somebody up for the sake of doing it. It really is. Like, and I'm not saying you're saying this, but it's the easy narrative that a lot of people, oh, there goes Philly again. You know, they eat their own. You tell me one city that's a real baseball city. I'm not talking about somewhere where they just accept everything. That wouldn't be tell me Boston wouldn't be going crazy with the stuff that he's done this year. He's been awful. He hasn't made them better. He hasn't lifted them. A good manager isn't going to win you 10 games like some people think. He's going to win you 4 or 5, but he's also going to have you avoid some landmines. He's walked them right into landmines this year.
And that's been the worst part for me. I think back to that game when he was going up against his, you know, the guy who managed the Phillies before him, Gabe Kapler. It was a game I was at, actually. They're playing the Giants. And I think he left in, I want to say it was Brogdon in to allow two three-run home runs in the same inning. And it was the first time that it happened in franchise history in like 50 or so years. And I'm thinking, wow, that's impressive. But also, no one would be allowed to stay in that long to do it. Like, it's very basic stuff that has been overall frustrating to me, contributes to the overall lackluster nature of this team. You're right. I don't know if the roster and things that you would have expected to improve, such as the defense. Have you seen it? Can you remember a team? You've been watching baseball longer than I have. Worse at defense than this team?
No. And I went through some really bad, like, late 80s teams before your time, where they were horrendous. Like, there was no redeeming quality at all from those teams. They weren't this bad. I mean, you think about it. It's an adventure. You can name about 5 guys off the top of your head where every time a routine ball is hit to them, you get your fingers crossed. Like, these are, like, it's Little League. I mean, think about Boehm, every single throw, it's an adventure, right? Rhys Hoskins finds bizarre ways to make errors at first base almost nightly. McCutchen has just completely, look, he's washed in a lot of ways in the field. He had a nice start to May, but he tailed, and you know, we'll see how it goes. But he, you know, he's an adventure. Harper has been okay. During his tenure with the Phillies, he's been a pretty good right fielder, but he's banged up now. And you know, when you're throwing Brad Miller's, and it's not even really Brad Miller's fault, but you know, you
need one of the better hitters.
Yeah, right. No, he can hit, but he's an adventure in the field. On top of it, here's the other part, and this goes back to Girardi. There's fundamental issues. Archie Bradley doesn't back up. Like, what are you doing, man? And then, you know, you'll see plays. There's just no feel. I'll go back to Bone. The throw to the plate a couple series ago where he cuts it, where it could have easily been an out at the plate. Okay, it's a judgment call. He cuts it. If you're going to cut it, you better nail that dude in the rundown. And the first thing that you're taught when you're in Little League, okay, is when you get a guy in a rundown, run at him. Avoid making 100 throws, because guess what? Bad things happen when you make throws. So he overthrows Segura. Segura decides he's just going to sit on the ground for 15 minutes. But there's no discipline. There's no accountability for that kind of action. You know, at least Bohm, it was a physical error. It's frustrating, but it's a physical. Segura sits there. You know, Archie Bradley has been in the league how long, and he doesn't know, or he doesn't have the wherewithal or the common sense to go back up on a play. It's that kind of stuff. That's what gets fans nuts.
More of my conversation with Rob Ellis coming right up, but first I have to tell you about rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all of the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his or her computer, choosing only the brands their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible, rather than changing what the prices are, based on what the market will bear, just the way airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com, it's a family business, serving auto parts customers online for more than 20 years. Go to rockauto.com and shop for the auto and body parts from more than 100 manufacturers. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. I feel like we could almost make a bracket or just a total shopping list of like the worst, not only physical blunders, but mental blunders. I think of that. I think about Hoskins kind of just lollygagging the ball back in, and allowing Jonathan Villar to score on national television. I think about the play in Atlanta where Alvarado's looking to second base, Didi's pointing home, and they get nobody out. Like, it's not even just that. If it was one play, you say, okay, it happens. It happens, it feels like once a series, like you said.
Yeah, and you think about it. If you're lacking in one area, like, okay, so the Phillies haven't hit anywhere near up to the standards we thought they were going to. If that's the case, you better field your rear end off, okay, and try and pick everybody else up. They let themselves down at every turn, whether it's in the field, whether it's at the plate, you know, and the bullpen's better. I don't know how you could have gone any lower. It's better. It's still not great. It's not even good. It's bad. You know, all in all, the product has been bad. And it's going to be fascinating to me now that, you know, we have full capacity here at the ballpark, what it's going to look like and what the reaction is going to be, because they've gotten somewhat of a free pass, certainly last year because there wasn't anybody, but this year because of the small numbers. And I think people are just happy to be there, so they're not quite as ready to go to the booing route, but it's going to get ugly soon.
Like very quick. Yeah. I made the point a few days ago. Tell me what you think about this. It feels like if this baseball team were a movie, this would be the point where someone like a Bryce Harper, like the manager, maybe the GM, you know, a Sam Full, Dave Dombrowski type comes in, you know, starts flipping tables in the clubhouse and says, like, let's get it together. I don't even feel like there's any type of spark on this team, which I don't know how you factor that in, like quantitatively, so to speak. It's kind of just like an X factor that you can't really account for. But even that they don't have.
Yeah, there is an apathetic feel. Like, and maybe some of this, like, it's tough to decipher if Girardi is just trying to feed you like the party line sometimes. Like he'll give you that's baseball sometimes, or yeah, we got to feel better. Like, you know, what difference would it make? Like, how would it adversely affect anything if you called somebody out every once in a while? Like, honestly, I know that rarely ever happens in sports, and this is not just Girardi in baseball, but it's whatever. But my God, man, it's okay to say, you know what? Gene Segura has got to get his rear end up and he can't be sitting there for 15 minutes after a misplay, or Bryce has got to know better, or Archie Bradley's been around a long time, man. He's got to back that up. That it's going to get worse. It's not going to get worse. So call somebody out, man. And it's like, I can't figure out. And that's the thing, Dan, if you're a fan and you're saying, I don't know if they really care, why should I really care? Like that's the worst indictment that you can lay on a team. And it does kind of feel that way, honestly. Like they would be buried if they were in a healthy division. If the Mets and the Braves were healthy, they'd be buried.
Well, if the division was ever expect this to be the best division in baseball, it has not played that way. A lot of injuries, as you mentioned. They're still, I believe, entering play today. There were some games today. Phillies got rained out. 4 games out, which was the largest lead. The Mets have the largest lead in all of baseball in any division. We're sitting here 2 months into the season. And you look at this kind of broad scope of the organization, like there is an apathetic feel. There's no blue chip prospect coming up through the organization where you say at least things will get better down the line. Can Dombrowski afford to wait 2 months to make a move? And I feel like they're more than a move or two away. Like, seriously, where do you go from here? Are we just going to have 10 years of rebuilding to level out at 500 for the next couple seasons and tear it all down again with $450 million contributed to Bryce Harper and JT Realmuto? Like, it's bad even beyond this year.
No, it is. And that's why you look at what, you know, this goes back to what we were just talking about. The reason why they're playing in Dunedin and you know, Clearwater is a stone's throw away and they're bringing nobody up to play in that game. Why is that? Because you really don't think anybody's that good ultimately, right? That's why Bryce Harper's got to take it two at bats, which was patently absurd. Like, and you look at some of the guys that come up here or some of the retreads that get opportunities. It's like, you're telling me there's nobody better in the system right now to give a shot to when you're banged up to throw them in there. And it's a ringing indictment. Think about it. When you go from 11 to now without a postseason, without a season above 500, and this, you have this little to show for it. If you go across the board, you look at left field, that's a free agent pickup. You look at center field, it's just a mash of, it's garbage. Harper's a free agent signing. Gregorius is a free agent signing. Realmuto is a trade. There's so few guys there that are homegrown for teams that were picking like first overall, top 10 overall, when you're one of the worst teams in baseball, where is the Latin presence that you see with so many other teams? This is years and years and years of ineptness of judging talent and growing talent once you get them in your organization. And this is, now you're paying the check right now. The check's due.
And not to mention when they get bullpen guys from other teams, you throw a Phillies uniform on the guy and suddenly they become more like, I don't know, it just seems like a cursed organization in some senses, and everything they touch like just turns to garbage. It's very, very frustrating to watch. I did want to hit on one bright spot of this team that's kind of gone a little under notice, and actually I think an under talked about thing recently, and the emergence of Nick Maton happened about a month ago or so now, but they're kind of getting into the situation Girardi is, platooning him and Ronald Torres, who returned from the injured list, actually had been hitting well, but is significantly older, I think 5 years older than Maton. Are you surprised that Maton hasn't found his way in the lineup more? Do you agree? Obviously Girardi speaks highly of Torres. He liked him in New York, but does it seem like a move that is for the long term or kind of just like, hey, it's working now, we'll go with it?
I'm with you. I brought this up several times on my shows. I'm like, I don't get why Maton's now been buried. And maybe it's just because people are so frustrated that they're looking in a million different areas, and I get it. But he was a bright spot. He was hitting left-handed pitching as well. It wasn't like he was just, you know, you could only have him face righties. Maybe it's a lack of trust of him at shortstop, but if that's the case, and I don't love this, but I'd throw Segura back over at short and let Maton play second. I don't understand it. And look, there's nothing not to like about Ronnie Torres. He's a good dude. He's, you know, he's obviously he's beloved by his teammates, but what is that ultimately? Maton may blossom into something. He may not, but you're not going to find out with him sitting on the bench. I don't get that either. It's another thing that Girardi, and it wasn't like he went into some prolonged slump and Girardi said, come on, you see what this really is with this guy. It wasn't the case. He did a hell of a job and really kept them afloat during a time when they were still sort of in this thing, when they were teetering, and now he's buried too.
Yeah. That's something that I have not necessarily understood. You hope that maybe something emerges there. going around the other prospects that have come, you know, there was a bright spot last year. We were the most exciting thing entering the season, in my opinion, was year two of Alec Bohm and how disappointing that's been. We already hit on his defense, but his offense has really taken a step back. And it's not even just, I know he hits the ball hard a lot and Girardi likes to point that out. And he's going to set some kind of record with hitting into double plays, but he's also striking out more than he did a year ago and getting just beat by fat fastballs middle in that aren't even like 100 miles an hour, like sometimes 92. There was a game in Miami the other day and he struggled to get around on that thing. Are you long-term concerned with Alec Bohm here?
I'm not. I'm optimistic, and I've seen this a lot with guys in their second year, and he really didn't even get a full first year. So I think he'll be okay. I think what's happened with him, Dan, they've adjusted to him. Sometimes it takes guys a little bit longer to counter the adjustment. And I think that's the case with Bohm right now. And I think you couple that with the fact that he's really lost confidence and he's just, it's kind of staggering right now. Right. And then you add on to it. We knew it was going to be a struggle in the field. You know, you went in cautiously optimistic and it's been bad, but I think that adds to it too. Like that pile on his shoulders just gets heavier, man. And all of it sort of adds up. Like the All-Star break, although we're a long way away from it, or not that long, I guess, can't come soon enough for him. Like he would really do well with a few days off. And just, if I'm Girardi, I'm telling him, go to an island for a couple of days, dude. Don't think about it. I don't want you in a cage. Just get away from it. But I actually do think I saw too much from him last year with the ability to hit with two strikes, the ability to hit the ball the other way. He looks to me like a professional hitter. He's not just up there hacking, although it's looked a lot different this year, but that's there somewhere. And I think that'll come back. I think he'll be okay.
The final segment of my conversation with Rob Ellis is coming right up. But first I have to tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar, it's the best tasting protein bar ever. Do you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors? When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors by now, well, you are certainly missing out. There's coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. There's something certainly for everyone. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Flavors have 17 to 18 grams of protein, 130 to 180 calories, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and just 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. 9 amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Order today. Get the raspberry, the mint brownie, whatever you like, even the mixed box, as I mentioned. Go to BuiltBar.com, use that promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, use that promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your first order. Once again, it's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Also have to tell you about my friends at BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season is, of course, in full swing, and you can track all of the action at BetOnline.ag. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, and all of your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all of the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game as teams, they're already in the playoffs, or of course, Major League Baseball already in full swing into the month of June. Head to the website, use your mobile device, sign up today, receive that 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, for the 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. It's betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
When you take a look at this team overall, we hit on the pitching a little bit earlier. An indictment of the organization for sure that Vince Velasquez got another shot has actually been one of the better pitchers, kind of flying under the radar a little bit because the team overall has been bad. We came into the season with Chase Anderson and Matt Moore as the starting rotation. Spencer Howard's a guy who they're limiting his innings, but doesn't seem like he can go deep into games. His velocity we've seen dip. I mean, is this a rotation that makes it through the end of the season? And God forbid one of those top 3 guys goes down. Like, where do you even turn?
You're in trouble if they go down. I look, Moore and Anderson, you were kind of rolling dice, right, to begin with, that they were going to give you anything. The Spencer Howard thing drives me nuts. I mean, the fact that after his first start, he referenced running to first base exhausted him so that his velocity dropped 5 miles per hour, and then he was just toast after 3 innings. Like, for a 24-year-old dude, what are we doing here? Like, you know, it's amazing to me. And he didn't catch enough heat for that, I don't think, at least. it was stunning, shocking that he said something like that. And I've been one who said, let's rip the Band-Aid off on the kid and come on, enough already. Get out there and start pitching. And if you're not the guy, then you're not the guy. Or if you're a bullpen piece, we'll figure it out, but let's go. I don't know what he is. Like, he's touted as this one of their, if not their number one prospect. He can't get through four innings. Like, it really speaks to what they have or what they don't have down there. And I got to tell you, he turned me off so badly with that comment after running to first base. I almost checked out on, I have checked out on Spencer Howard.
So 4 months to go. I know it's hard to have any type of positive outlook. If you're hanging your hat on anything, like, this will turn it around. You mentioned you're still optimistic about Alec Bohm. This team will get Bryce Harper back. I mean, is there a spark? Will this team continue to tease us or just kind of keep heading for the basement here?
No, I think it's health. You know, if you get Harper back, and that's a bigger discussion with some of the injuries with him, with the back and the shoulder, it's kind of scary, but he comes back, you've gotten Real Muto back. You're going to get Gregorius back at some point. The odds are that group or that lineup is going to hit some when these guys get back healthy. If the top of the rotation can continue this, if the bullpen can just find itself a little bit more, they haven't been awful, but just find themselves a little bit more. The fact that nobody appears to be able to run away with this division gives you a fighting chance. The problem is it ain't going to be a wild card. Most likely you look at what the West looks like. You look at what the Central looks like. I think you're going to have to win the East, which is it. I don't think it's that daunting, honestly. Like I still, if you ask me, I think Atlanta still comes out of it, but I it's doable. And the beauty is it is still really early. Like, I get Phillies fans don't want to hear that. They're frustrated and they should be frustrated. But I would say the health thing is what I am most optimistic about.
And I'll kind of get you out of here on this. So you mentioned, I forget what your exact win total was. Mine was 86. That was a pretty, I'll say, pedestrian win total going into the season. What was your win total coming in? What are you at right now? Like, how much has this 2 months turned you off?
I was right in your range. I was like 86, 88. It's not impossible, but the tough thing for me to wrap my head around is, from a defensive standpoint, I just don't see this changing a whole lot. I mean, your only plus defender is Real Muto. Virtually everywhere else the ball is hit, it's an adventure. That's what would scare me. I think they're going to get healthy. I think they'll hit more, but their defense, man, is so bad. That's what would worry me. But it's not right off time yet. It's time to be frustrated, but not right off time yet.
Rob Ellis, thank you so much for your time. Of course, professor and graduate of Temple University and a host on 94 WIP, where you can hear him. Thank you, Rob.
Damn, great job, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
That's going to do it for today's episode of the Locked on Phillies podcast. Again, huge thank you to Rob Ellis from 94 WIP, taking some time out of his day to jump on the podcast, discuss all things 2021 Phils, the baseball season thus far. Always fun talking to him and having the chance to work with him. So I'm certainly glad that I was able to get him to come on the podcast and that you were all able to listen to our conversation. Coming up later this week, again, only one more podcast before the end of the week on Friday, planning on or trying to get a crossover coordinated here time-wise with Josh Neighbors from the Locked On Nationals podcast, who, of course, I've crossed over with, and you've heard his voice a number of times. We go way back to our camp days when we were in middle school and high school, and he, of course, is the host of Locked On Nationals, who the Phillies will be hosting this weekend, by the way, and could use a big-time series win as they return home against a National League East opponent. So one last time, huge thank you to Rob Ellis for jumping on the podcast, and be sure to stay tuned for future Locked on Phillies, both tomorrow and coming up next week. Get all the sports news you need in less than 20 minutes at the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.